You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Russ Belville was an effete snob. I smoked his bowl before his joint was even cold. My name is Victor Kruger, and I'll be your host today, because there can be only one! Ha! Huh?
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, October 27th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, but more importantly, it's got to be our Halloween episode of the Marijuana Agenda. I dress up every year. I know you're listening on a podcast. You can't see my costume, but for those of you who watch the live feed every day on my YouTube page, youtube.com/radicalrust, you can see that I am dressed up. You know, with all the talk that's been going on lately from Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions, you know, Just Say No is coming back. I decided that it was time to go back to the 80s with my costume. I am the Kurgan, the immortal bad guy from the 1986 cult classic Highlander. Thus, the There Can Be Only One. It's one of my favorite sci-fi fantasy movies, and I've been working on this costume for the last couple of weeks, and we got most of it put together. Still got a couple extra things I got to do, but feeling pretty good, and I'll be out at some Halloween parties this weekend here in beautiful, legal Portland, Oregon, and I'll be sending you all sorts of pictures. You can check them out on my Instagram feed on Radical Russ on Instagram, and we'll publish them elsewhere as well. Now, coming up on today's show, all sorts of interesting stuff. We've got a remix I made yesterday, a message on drug policy from Donald Trump and Nancy Reagan. That's right. We brought Nancy Reagan back from the grave just for Halloween. Zombie Nancy Reagan has showed up. And we've got a special message coming up right after the cannabis headline news. Then also on the show, an activist agenda. Our friend Tom Angel out at Marijuana Moment has a list of the states likely to be voting on marijuana reform in 2018. We'll run that down. Herb Thrasher joins us with the Reefer Rock review for Halloween. I'm sure he's got some great metal to talk about. And in the Radical Rant, real briefly, I'll tell you a little bit about a new study out about cannabis and sex. But first, let's get to the news.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at marijuanamoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, October 27th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. In an interview on Thursday, reported in Forbes, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions was guarded about the Trump administration's plans to push back against the growing number of states that are ending cannabis prohibition. Quote, "I can't comment on the existence of an investigation at this time," he said, adding that he didn't think changing state laws have taken away the Department of Justice's power to enforce the ongoing federal ban, adding, quote, "I do not believe there is any argument that because a state legalizes marijuana that the federal law against marijuana is no longer in existence," he said. Quote, "I do believe that the federal laws are clearly in effect in all 50 states, and we will do our best to enforce the laws as we are required to do so," end quote. Sessions was responding to a suggestion from conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt about using federal racketeering laws to go after marijuana businesses. President Donald Trump is promising a massive advertising campaign as part of his administration's response to the worst drug crisis in U.S. history. But past marketing efforts have shown that few results, and experts say other measures could be far more effective in curbing the current epidemic. Trump declared the country's opioid overdoses a public health emergency on Thursday and laid out steps to combat addiction and abuse with heroin and prescription painkillers, drugs that kill nearly 100 Americans daily. AP reports that the government and academic assessments of Just Say No style messages have repeatedly shown poor results. Between 1998 and 2004, the U.S. government spent nearly $1 billion on a national campaign designed to discourage use of illegal drugs among young people, particularly marijuana. A 2008 follow-up study funded by the National Institutes of Health found the campaign, quote, had no favorable effects on youth's behavior, end quote, and may have actually prompted some to experiment with drugs, an unintended boomerang effect. During a meeting in Trenton, the New Jersey Medical Marijuana Review Panel gave final approval to five new qualifying medical conditions for the state's infamously strict medical marijuana program: anxiety, migraine, Tourette's syndrome, chronic pain related to musculoskeletal disorders, and chronic pain of visceral origin that is related to internal organs. The panel voted unanimously to reject asthma and chronic fatigue syndrome. Now there's just one final hurdle remaining before anxiety and migraine patients can start seeking relief via cannabis. That is Health Commissioner Kathleen Bennett, a Chris Christie appointee who has opposed legalized weed in the past and has up to 180 days to render a final decision about the five new qualifying conditions. New Jersey medical marijuana and cannabis advocates have been pushing to expand the list of qualifying conditions in a state that has been widely criticized for a lack of dispensary locations and shortages of both marijuana and doctors willing to recommend it. Tiger Woods pleaded guilty Friday to reckless driving, resolving charges from an arrest last spring in which he was found passed out in his Mercedes with prescription drugs and marijuana in his system. AP reports that Woods spoke only briefly during a hearing at a Palm Beach County courthouse, answering questions from a judge about his plea agreement. Prosecutors dropped a driving under the influence charge for the superstar golfer, and the judge warned him to behave. Woods will enter a diversion program and spend a year on probation and pay a $250 fine and court costs. Since he was intoxicated with prescription drugs and marijuana, according to court records, he will also be required to undergo regular drug tests. Woods is also not allowed to drink alcohol. Woods had the active ingredient for marijuana, two painkillers, Vicodin and Dilaudid, and the sleep drug Ambien and the anti-anxiety drug Xanax in his system, but no alcohol, according to a toxicology report released in August. He completed a drug treatment program in July. New Jersey is warning parents to look out for people slipping their kids marijuana-laced candy while trick-or-treating. But with no apparent evidence that's ever happened, advocates for legalizing marijuana say it's nothing more than a Halloween scare tactic. The state attorney general's office published a document being shared by law enforcement agencies around New Jersey and beyond, including a warning about a, quote, significant presence of marijuana candy and other edible forms in New Jersey and nearby states, end quote. The warning cites the case of a 10-year-old New York boy who police said became ill after eating candy infused with cannabis found in the backseat of his family's car, but that had nothing to do with Halloween. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, October 27th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
This whole country needs to not be so lackadaisical about drugs. They say much of the addiction starts with marijuana.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, The Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement. President Donald Trump and First Lady Nancy Reagan with an important message about drugs.
If we can teach young people not to take drugs, just not to take them, it's really, really easy not to take them.
I was asked by a group of children what to do if they were offered drugs. And I answered, just say no.
Our administration will be doing is a massive advertising campaign to get people, especially children, not to want to take drugs in the first place.
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs.
We must confront the culture of drug abuse head on to reduce demand for dangerous narcotics.
We want you to help us create an outspoken intolerance for drug use.
Really tough, really big, really great advertising.
I'd say I'm exactly the same as when I smoked my first joint.
Eddie, did you even look for a job today?
No, Ma.
Marijuana can make nothing happen to you, too.
There is nothing desirable about drugs. They're bad.
Drugs take away the dream from every child's heart and replace it with a nightmare.
Every American should know that if they purchase illegal drugs, they are helping to finance some of the most violent, cruel, and ruthless organizations anywhere in the world.
Drug money funds terror. I mean, why should I believe that?
Because it's a fact.
A fact.
F-A-C-T fact.
Illegal drug use is not a victimless crime.
I help blow up buildings. My life. My body. It's not like I was hurting anybody else.
We are going to overcome addiction in America.
We've turned the corner on drug addiction in the United States. Drug addiction in the United States is under control.
And we will help to build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com. Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159-855.
Activism begins with ACT. The Marijuana Agenda features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's Activist Agenda.
Today in the Activist Agenda, we're taking a look at a piece by Tom Angel up on marijuanamoment.net. These states will probably vote on marijuana in 2018. A quick rundown of where we can expect to be reporting on for Marijuana Election Night 2018. Let's see, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2015, 2016. It'll be my sixth broadcast where I bring you all the latest results from coast to coast. So here we go. Starting with the state of Michigan, the Michigan Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act would allow adults over 21 to possess, grow, and use small amounts of marijuana legally. So full legalization we're talking about here. They could grow up to 12 total marijuana plants in a home, possess 2.5 ounces outside the home, store 10 ounces in the home, in addition to the harvest, in addition to what you grow legally. There'd be business licenses for cultivators, processors, testers, transporters, retail stores, and, what I love to see this in legalization initiatives, micro-businesses, that is, small businesses cultivating a low number of plants that they would sell directly to consumers. This is so important as we move forward with legalization for the next few states to understand that if you want to end the black market, you have to legalize the black market, right? You have to legalize the direct from farmer sale of cannabis from one person to another. I mean, most of the time that I got my weed back in the day was directly from the guy who was growing it. I was never more than one or two steps away from the grower. A lot of people prefer that. They like to know the person growing the cannabis, know and trust and build a relationship. So this small business idea, this micro business license, something other states ought to be doing. There, of course, would be, municipalities would be empowered to regulate or ban cannabis businesses. So it looks like they can opt out. There'd be a 10% excise tax plus the state's regular 6% sales tax. This would be the lowest tax. If Michigan gets this and keeps it, you know how the legislatures like to mess with this. You know, Maine was going to be the lowest, but then their legislature went and bumped it up to 20. But 10%, that's the other thing states need to get a handle on, is keeping that tax rate low so that you can, again, undercut what might be happening in the unregulated market. Now, there needs to be 252,523 valid signatures, and they're trying to get a goal of 366,000. In October, they said they're 95% of the way to the goal. This is being bankrolled or backed by the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, CRIMLA, which you'll sound familiar because that was Massachusetts, that was Maine, that was Nevada, that was Arizona. That was four out of the five states was CRMLA in 2016. That's organized by the Marijuana Policy Project. And they got buy-in from Marijuana MI Legalize to back it as well. The latest polls in Michigan show 58% support to 36% opposition. So we know if we get this on the ballot, it's likely to win. There is a second legalization campaign working right now, but don't seem to have the funding. They don't look like they're really going to have much of a chance. Now, looking at another state that starts with M, Missouri is looking to a constitutional amendment for medical cannabis. This would be a typical type of medical marijuana law, ID cards from the state, allowed to cultivate six plants and purchase at least 4 ounces from dispensaries on a monthly basis. Now, if we could get this in Missouri, it would make a step forward from where we've been with the last few medical cannabis states where you're not allowed to grow your own and not even allowed to smoke the herb. So this would be old school 2000s medical marijuana, not the 2010s medical marijuana. There'd be licenses for cannabis cultivation, testing, infused product manufacturing, and dispensaries, 4% retail tax on medical cannabis sales. And there's controversy with that because a lot of people say, you know, shouldn't be taxing medicine. But there you go, 4% retail tax. They need 160,199 signatures as of September. They've had 75,000 raw signatures. With 160, you know, they're going to need to collect 220, 230. It's New Approach Missouri. And I'm really hoping for the best for New Approach Missouri. They were 23 signatures short last time around through all sorts of shenanigans that happened and problems with the differing qualifications in different districts. So we're crossing our fingers and hoping that that makes it for 2018. Huge support for medical cannabis in the Show Me State, 62% in favor, 27% opposed. Other Missouri measures. There is a second medical cannabis constitutional initiative being organized. It might qualify. His campaign, this is Brad Bradshaw, a former lieutenant governor candidate, has collected nearly 150,000. There's also a third measure, which is a statutory measure, not a constitutional amendment, and a whole bunch of competing marijuana initiatives for legalizing recreational marijuana and so forth. But my money is on the New Approach Missouri. I think they'll probably be the ones that qualify. Then the sure thing that we have is in the state of Oklahoma, a statutory initiative for medical cannabis for any condition. In Oklahoma, qualified patients would get physician approval and get ID cards from the state. They could possess 3 ounces of marijuana on their person, 8 ounces at home, and cultivate 6 mature plants and 6 seedlings. It's great to see home cultivation coming back in these initiatives. And they would be allowed to possess 1 ounce of cannabis concentrates, 72 ounces of marijuana edibles. Now, to be fair here, the reason they've got medical cultivation at home is because these are initiatives. These states, a lot of the states most recently that have passed medical cannabis through their legislatures, the legislatures are the ones that want to get rid of the home cultivation. And that's usually because of the lobbying of law enforcement that wants them to make sure they can still kick down people's doors for growing houseplants. Now, people who don't have medical cannabis recommendations in the state of Missouri caught with 1.5 ounces or less, but could state a medical condition or show, you know, another state's card, they would be met with a misdemeanor offense with no more than a $400 fine, like no arrest. So kind of a, not reciprocity, but a slap on the wrist if you're an out-of-state medical marijuana patient. There'd be cultivation, processing, transport, and dispensing license, 7% retail tax on medical cannabis, and it needs to, well, it's already on the ballot. It's already qualified, so they're voting on this in Oklahoma. We will at least be covering Oklahoma in 2018. The group behind it's called Oklahomans for Health, and the latest polling, 71% support. in the state of Oklahoma. The Beehive State of Utah. The Utah Medical Cannabis Act would allow doctors to recommend medical marijuana for cancer, HIV, AIDS, MS, post-traumatic stress, chronic pain, and some other conditions. If you got an approval, you'd get an ID card. You could purchase 2 ounces of cannabis or products containing 10 grams of cannabidiol or THC from a dispensary during any 14-day period. 10 grams per 14 days. Patients who do not live within 100 miles of a dispensary would be allowed to grow 6 plants. So the 25-mile halo from Arizona that metastasized to a 40-mile halo in North Dakota has become a 100-mile halo in the state of Utah. So if you're in the corner of Utah, one of the corners of Utah, then you can grow your own, right? How ridiculous is this? Imagine being the guy who lives 98 miles away from the nearest dispensary. And you can only buy 10 grams of medicine every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, this guy's got to make a 196-mile round trip to get his 10 grams. 196 miles. Because you know they're not going to ship it, right? not going to mail it, right? Unbelievable. So, of course, this one being Utah, smoking medical cannabis would not be allowed. Patients could have caregivers. There'd be medical cultivation, processing, testing, and dispensing licenses. Now, this is interesting from the Utah law is that municipalities could regulate, but they could not ban. There'd be no banning marijuana businesses. They're saying it's medical, but it's going to be medical. There'd be no taxes on it either, exempt from sales tax. There needs to be 113,143 signatures. As of October, there's been 20,000 turned in. This is the Utah Patients Coalition behind it. They're funded primarily by Marijuana Policy Project. Last poll in Utah found 75% supported this act, this Utah Medical Cannabis Act. Now, to round up the rest of the states and territories that might be voting, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, one of our 5 U.S. territories way out there in the Pacific, they are considering a legislation in the legislature would pass a bill that would put a measure on the ballot to legalize marijuana and allow medical cannabis. So this is kind of a referendum, legislatively a referred referendum to the people. Possibly could happen. State of Maryland, state legislators are looking at doing the same thing, putting a referendum before the voters. Rhode Island, some lawmakers are talking about putting a non-binding resolution referendum on the state ballot so that the people could say whether or not, yes, they do want to vote on it. activists say, let's just pass a bill here. People want this. But it doesn't seem, according to this analysis from Tom Angel, that that's going to be happening. If it were to pass this referendum, then 2019 would be about as early as we'd be seeing any significant changes in Rhode Island. And in South Dakota, New Approach South Dakota is circulating petitions for medical cannabis and for adult use. They're just currently in circulation stage. But who knows? We could see another vote in South Dakota, the only state who have rejected medical cannabis twice. That is our look at the activist agenda. And my thanks, of course, as always, to Tom Angel and the fantastic work that he is doing with the Marijuana Moment. Encourage you to check that out at marijuanamoment.net and subscribe to the newsletter. I do get it every morning and ready to face the day and read the latest stories. When we come back, we've got the Reefer Rock Review with Herb Thrasher from 420 Radio, and then my radical rant on sex and weed, baby.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program.
Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And let me be clear about marijuana. It is a potentially dangerous gateway drug that frequently leads to the use of harder drugs.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
As we prepare for the weekend, we remember that the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition is as much about culture as it is about criminal justice. Music has always been at the forefront of revolution, and the marijuana movement is no different. Join us as we visit with Herb Thrasher, program manager at 420radio.org, for this edition of Reefer Rock Review.
All right, happy Halloween, Herb Thrasher. Tell us what's happening in the world of Reefer Rock.
What's up, everyone? Herb Thrasher from 420 Radio. Welcome to this week's October 27th, 2017 Reefer Rock Report, held right here exclusively on the Marijuana Agenda. All right, let's get to it. This week saw the inaugural Loudwire Music Awards concert and ceremony held at the Novo Theater in downtown Los Angeles on October 24th. This night saw many bands in the rock and metal world performing and also getting and receiving many awards. The Courage Award goes to Tony Iommi, Lemmy Lifetime Achievement Award, Rob Halford, Humanitarian Award, Sammy Hagar, Hard Rock Artist of the Year, Stone Sour, Metal Artist of the Year, Avenged Sevenfold, Hard Rock Album of the Year, Stone Sour with Hydrograd, Metal Album of the Year, Avenged Sevenfold with The Stage, Best Guitarist, Zach Wilde, Breakthrough Band of the Year, Beartooth, Best Bassist, Steve Harris, Metal Song of the Year, Power Trip's Executioner Tax, Hard Rock Song of the Year, I Prevail's Alone, Best Live Band, Iron Maiden, Best Vocalist, Chester Bennington, Linkin Park, Best Drummer, Mario Duplante, Gojira, Best New Artist, Greta Van Fleet, and Most Dedicated Fans, Baby Metal. And you can find a lot of these awards and a lot of the information and more on the loudwire.com website. One thing that comes to mind real quick hearing those awards is Steve Harris, Best Bassist from Iron Maiden. I remember growing up in the 80s as a heavy metal kid, high schooler, middle schooler, and even into college. And back then, Steve Harris was always known as the best bassist in heavy metal as well. So here we are, 30 years later, Steve Harris still being called the best bassist in heavy metal. All right, shout out to Loudwire. Appreciate them supporting the rock and heavy metal world. All right, also just released news of Judas Priest. They're going to be releasing a brand new album, Firepower, in 2018, and just announced a big, huge North American tour starting on March 13th. In Pennsylvania, working their way into Ohio through March, up into Canada, late March, April, we'll see them back into the U.S. I'll be going to the April 17th Veterans Memorial Coliseum, Portland, Oregon show. On April 20th, holiday, they will be off, waiting to play April 22nd in Los Angeles. The tour continues into May, closing out San Antonio, Texas on May 1st. So look for heavy metal living legends Judas Priest with new wave of British heavy metal leaders Saxon and the Black Star Riders opening and supporting Judas Priest as well on their Firepower Tour kicking off again March 2018. All right, Lemmy, rest in peace. The track Ace of Spades, still coveted by radio stations today, played all the time. Ace of Spades was actually released back in 1980. So great stuff. It was actually released October 25th. And that track has influenced and just remained a heavy metal staple forever. The song was actually off the Ace of Spades album that was released November 8th, 1980. All right, great stuff from Herb Thrasher Flower Hour and the 420 Radio. Always love bringing you the best in rock, metal, bluegrass, and weed. You can check us out live on Friday nights at 8 p.m. on 420radio.org. All right, keep rocking, folks. There's your Reefer Rock Report for October 27th, 2017. Right here on the MarijuanaAgenda.com.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've got to reestablish first a view that you should say no. People should say no to drug use. They got to protect themselves first.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs. Use less
I am ill. That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Good people don't
smoke marijuana.
Well, today we get to end the week with a lighthearted look at sex. That's right, sex and weed. This is a study that came out in the Journal of Sexual Medicine, and it's entitled Association Between Marijuana Use and Sexual Frequency in the United States, a Population-Based Study. Now, before you're thinking, hey, where do I sign up for this? No, they're not doing trials, right? This is taking a look at survey data. Okay. It's my first thought. I was like, geez, where do I sign up? Do they pay you for that? But no, this is just an associated look at marijuana use and sexual frequency. And the researchers point out that marijuana use is increasingly prevalent in the United States. Effects of marijuana use on sexual function are unclear, with contradictory reports of enhancement and detriment existing. Now, the enhancement reports would be those of us who, going all the way back to Keith Stropp from 1970s, was saying that marijuana enhances music and food and sex, right? Enhances our sensory pleasures. And the detrimental would be all of these studies that are funded usually by National Institutes of Drug Abuse that say, oh, it affects your sperm count and it reduces your fertility, reduces your libido, and so forth, and may even cause, you know, erectile dysfunction. So they're trying to figure this out. And what they did is they took a look at data from three different cycles of the National Survey of Family Growth from 2002, from 2006 through 2010, And from 2011 to 2015, it's controlled for demographic, socioeconomic, anthropological characteristics to find out. And within the questions are asked, you know, how do you use marijuana? How often do you use marijuana? And there's also questions of, you know, do you have sex? How often do you have sex, et cetera? So what they were taking a look at was sexual frequency within the 4 weeks preceding survey administration related to marijuana use and frequency in the year preceding the survey administration. And what they found after analyzing over 28,000 women whose average age was about 30 and 23,000 men whose age was about 30, about 60% white and at least 76% men, 80% women were at least high school education. They adjusted for all these different characteristics. For example, female monthly, weekly marijuana users had significantly higher sexual frequency compared to never users. That's right. Women who smoke pot are getting laid more often compared to women who've never smoked pot. Male weekly users had significantly higher sexual frequency compared with never users. Now, interesting to note, for women, it didn't matter if it was weekly use or monthly use. They were getting it more often. For men, though, men, you got to puff tough. You got to keep smoking that weed if you want to get a little something, something. The overall trend for men identified showing that higher marijuana use was associated with increased coital frequency. That's scientific speak for making whoopee. So now it's for the women, right? Like monthly or weekly didn't matter. They had more sex. But for men, the more you smoke, the more you poke. Wow. All right. So the conclusion, according to these researchers, a positive association between marijuana use and sexual frequency is seen in men and women across all demographic groups. All demographic groups. And this is something that we could have told you long, long ago. I mean, again, going all the way back to Keith Straub talking about this from the 70s, marijuana makes you horny. It's an aphrodisiac. That's one of its properties. We should be celebrating this aspect of it, not being embarrassed by it. We should be promoting this, right? We know what happens, at least for us men, when you get a little too much whiskey, right? We should be promoting herb as the perfect pick-me-up, if you get my drift. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. I hope you guys have a happy and safe Halloween weekend. I'm the Kurgan. Yeah, heading out to a friend's 40th birthday party. A really excellent activist named Amber. I don't know what costume she's going in. Hope to see the rest of you there. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. There can be only one.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You're free, you're ready, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you're ready, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you're ready, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking, and it goes down smooth.